This is 89.9 WWNO. I'm Janae Pierre, and it's time for All Things New Orleans. On today's show, we'll check in with Cityscapes columnist Richard Campanella and share information on hurricane evacuation systems. Then we'll talk about the annual parade of homes across the city. That's all coming up on All Things New Orleans. But first, the latest episode of WWNO's community engagement project, The Listening Post, is focused on African American-owned businesses. This month, the team examines how businesses manage to stay afloat in the city and what's at stake if they don't.
The Listening Post, here's Gavin.
Welcome to The Listening Post. I'm your host, Thomas Walsh.
Auction. An auction occurs when more than one person desires an object, creating an opportunity for competition and therefore profit.
A group of artists and activists are using a blighted property in the Tremaine neighborhood as a stage for street theater.
Auction.
A system where potential buyers place competitive bids on assets and services.
These performers are parts of Blights Out, a New Orleans collective that focuses on keeping traditionally black neighborhoods like Tremaine affordable for long-term residents and businesses. There's been studies conducted that show New Orleans has more self-employed African Americans than most American cities, roughly 17-18%. Imani Brown helps run Blights Out and wants these historically black communities to be there to support businesses.
Our idea is that by being very direct about where we stand, we can create a space that is actually a thorn in the side of this type of predatory development that we see.
Steps away from the Blights Out performance sits a now vacant bar. A month ago, Poopadoo Bar, a neighborhood music venue, lost its lease. Now it was 3 months behind on rent, according to the property owner. For some, the failure of the bar signifies another sweeping wave of change for the neighborhood.
Ultimately, at the end of the day, you know, we're being displaced. Our culture is being commodified, and we really are, you know, in a death battle against this privatization.
Ricardo Thomas works as a financial advisor to many local small businesses. He says his clients are what keeps New Orleans communities sustainable.
We're not a city that has a lot of Fortune 500 companies. I think we only have one left now, and I believe that's Entergy. That makes a valid or viable argument of why we should support small business, because it is truly small business that employs more people than, you know, any other type of business.
Thomas points out that small businesses often employ friends and family. So if
a certain community doesn't have a lot of businesses or sustainable businesses, then who's going to employ the folks in that community?
Thomas says a lot of things either make or break a business. Access to information and technology are always important. Investing capital into a business and subsequently back into a neighborhood is another. Whether or not that happens can change an entire community. As usual, we have a lot of questions here at the Listening Post, but we're sticking to two this month to get at this topic of sustainability about black businesses in New Orleans. And we ask folks what black-owned businesses around town they frequent and how black-owned businesses can stick around in changing neighborhoods like Tremaine. Community producer Claudia Lopez brings you the results.
Hey, Listening Posters, Claudia Lopez here. Unfortunately, Thomas couldn't join us this month, but I have the lovely Janae Pierre. Hey, Janae, how are you?
I'm good.
So, Janae, I know you're a New Orleans native.
Yes.
What were some of your favorite places growing up here?
Well, honestly, some of these places are still my favorite places, like Lil Dizzy's Restaurant and Cafe. You have Neo's. Then Jean's Po' Boy is one of my favorites as well. Unfortunately, since we're talking about businesses that have been displaced, one of my favorite barbecue spots, Barbecue Kings, shout out to Chef O, but Barbecue Kings was one of my favorite Gentilly spots, so I missed that. What response have you guys received from the community?
So a lot of community members were talking about the logistics of keeping a business together, you know, making sure that you're paying your taxes, making sure that the legality situations are all together. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was important. A lot of people wanted to make sure that we stood up for what we owned. So if your family had started out owning something, mm-hmm. you should definitely continue to keep that in your tradition.
Absolutely.
But I don't want to give it all away. So I'm going to go straight to the tape that we got and let you guys hear it for yourself.
First of all, they need to take care of their business, taxes. their buildings and own them, not sell them and give up your heritage. That's what's happening for the green dollar, for a little bit of nothing, and they are making a killing off of what you're giving them. Stop it. I want to get that off my chest because I've had people approaching me on my property, and it's not for sale.
It's only going to change if you allow it. They're allowing it. The Sixth Ward is allowing it. The Caledonia that had three owners, and I know all of them, and now it's boarded up. That doesn't make sense.
The key is stay on top of your finances. Have them lined up if you need help. Obviously, there are government programs that can actually help you stay where you are.
You have to teach the black youth how to save money, where to put your money to, what to buy, how to spend it. And I think that will contribute to keeping black people in black communities.
Wow, that was some great feedback.
Yeah, that's the best part of the show. We really get to connect with community members and hear what they have to say. This is a historic city, you know. We don't want to kick out the people who have been here for so long, who have helped us make the city what it is, who have helped build this culture to what it is. That's all we have for this month. Janae and I really rocked the house on this one. How are you feeling, Janae?
I feel great, Claudia. Thanks for having me.
There are so many ways that you can interact with this project. You can find us at the Mid-City Library or the Alvar Library. And if you don't feel like getting up out of your house, you can give us a text or a call at the phone number 504-303-4348.
A quick shout out to one of our survey participants, Haley Burns, who helped connect me with a visual artist and business owner in the 7th Ward.
So I'm Journey Allen. We're traveling up North Broad Street, about to take a right onto Bayou Road.
All right. Bayou Road is the site of many African-American businesses. The Community Bookstore, the Cocoa Hut, King and Queen Emporium, and even Journey's studio and gallery are some of the many that define this corridor. Journey herself even grew up on this block.
So that pink building?
Yep.
Upstairs. My mom, dad, brother, and I lived up there in the top apartment. And being here allows me to keep a familiar face here because I feel like a lot of things are changing, and it's changing without people who are indigenous to the city.
Journey invested every penny she had in her new gallery. She's still taking the bus to work. She's had help from businesses like Fund 17, who have helped her shape her business plan and connected her with events like the New Orleans Entrepreneur Week. She's even now trying to work out her marketing plans.
You just gotta hit the pavement. You gotta push forward, you know? It's not like it's easy for me, but I know I have a vision and a goal, and I have to figure out those avenues that I must take to build it. And that's just what I plan on doing. The more I learn, the more I build, the better my business becomes, and the greater the chances of me continuing to exist.
And while there are forces at work outside Journey's control, all businesses have to deal with this in some way, shape, or form. A couple of key connections, an insider tip, and a relentless work ethic can be the deciding factor in any business, black or white. That's it for this episode of The Listening Post. Thanks for tuning in, New Orleans. And remember, our microphone is your microphone. We'll see you next time.
Each month, we talk to Richard Campanella about his cityscapes column for NOLA.com and the Times-Picayune. His most recent column is about how an 18th century fort around New Orleans French Quarter impacts property lines today. Here's WWNO's Jessica Rosegard with the story.
I am joined by Richard Campanella, professor of geography at the Tulane School of Architecture, to talk about his latest column in NOLA.com, which has to do with something that you call fort prints. Can you explain to me what you mean by that?
Fort prints is a term I coined for this specific phenomena that I kind of discovered at the edges of the French Quarter. I'm kind of borrowing from the notion of footprints and fingerprints applied to the old defensive system and its impact on the property lines in an old city like New Orleans. So footprints, fingerprints, fort prints.
You find these niches or these little things in town to
obscure things.
Yeah, that harken to the past. So what are these fort prints in and around the French Quarter?
When the French Quarter was first laid out, about 4 years after the city was actually founded, so we're talking like 1722, the two engineers who worked on the project established the perfect orthogonal grid that we all know and love as today's French Quarter. What they also did was surround it by a fortification system that aligned with the engineering advice of the French military engineer Sébastien Vauban. The fortification system that was designed to surround the French Quarter was in the shape of roughly a trapezoid. It was actually kind of a five-sided trapezoid, and they were all angled fort lines. So picture Canal Street to Iberville, and imagine an angled fort line going from the river over to the rampart corner by Burgundy and Iberville, and then another kind of a delta wing angle coming along Rampart Street, thus the name Rampart, and then another slanted line coming between Barracks and Esplanade, Esplanade, hence that name. And then there would be five bastions in the four corners plus one in the rear of Rampart. I want to point out for listeners that if you take a look at some colonial-era maps, the fortification system seems vast mm-hmm. and very strong. But that was cartographic deception. That was aimed to communicate to potential enemies that this is one fortified city.
The city actually wasn't well protected.
The city was not well protected, and it turned out that there really were no enemy attacks in the late colonial era. What there were was all sorts of disasters, including the fires, floods, hurricanes. And it was right after the 1788 fire that the city starts to expand across what is now Canal Street. And it's at that point that it became clear that these fortification systems were probably obsolete. So here's where the fort prints come into play.
Okay.
By this time, the old fortification lines are completely eradicated. But because properties on the internal city side had already been subdivided, sold to private entities, and built up, mm-hmm. that angle line got accidentally, inadvertently preserved in the property lines.
Gotcha.
So most people simply adapted to them. And the architects they hired designed buildings to fit these unusual kind of trapezoidum-shaped lots with these angled walls. In other cases, they simply cut off the angle, put a narrow alley mm-hmm. there, and then built a 90-degree angle structure. So over time, because of the legal complexity here, a dozen or so properties, mostly between Barracks and Esplanade, simply preserved their angled lines. And I want to be clear that the forts are long gone. The fortifications are long gone.
Right.
It's the property lines that preserved the morphology of the old fort.
The fort print.
Hence, fort prints.
Do these people who own these properties, do you know if they even know what you know about their property?
I've had a conversation with one homeowner along there. And he was a historically aware person. He did, in fact, notice that his rear courtyard wall was off plumb, and he connected those dots, too. I think beyond just a couple of folks, it's a pretty obscure and probably well-kept secret.
So there you have it, a discussion about New Orleans' relict fort prints and how they impact our geography and our streets and our buildings today. The column is Cityscapes, A Geographer's View of the New Orleans Area. Richard Campanella, thank you so much.
You're welcome, and thank you.
Every year, the Home Builders Association of Greater New Orleans throw a parade. Now calm down, my fellow New Orleanians. It's not a street parade. It's the Parade of Homes, which is an opportunity to tour new homes and see the latest in building techniques. Joining me now is their Director of Membership and Industry Relations, Lauren Galliano. Lauren, welcome.
Thank you so much.
So first off, tell us about the Home Builders Association of Greater New Orleans.
The Home Builders Association of Greater New Orleans, we're a trade association. So we strive to enhance the building industry through education, the promotion of thoughtful legislation, and encouraging members to do business with one another. We also try to be a resource for homeowners in the area. We have lots of articles and helpful tips for people looking to buy, build, or sell a home on our website.
Okay. Now tell us about the Parade of Homes.
The parade consists of new construction houses built by our members. This year we have 25 houses that people can go tour.
Wow.
It's
how many builders?
So 15 builders have put in homes. Some have multiples. Some have up to 6 houses. So it's a really good opportunity for our builders to showcase what they work on. A lot of these houses are custom built for their clients. So these houses wouldn't be open for tour because they're not on the market. Mm-hmm. So this is an opportunity to really get inside and see some very elaborate design and technique.
Okay, now when you tell me a parade, you know, I'm thinking one street, I'm hopping from house to house. Is it like that or is it jumping from neighborhood to neighborhood?
It is all over the map. The Home Builders Association of Greater New Orleans, that means we cover 7 area parishes. We've got homes in New Orleans, homes in Jefferson Parish. We've got a couple in Plaquemines Parish, and we actually have 7 in St. Bernard Parish.
And how are the neighborhoods chosen?
So it's up to the builders. They choose which of their houses they want to put on the parade. So it really gives a good idea of where the market is. Mm-hmm. The fact that we have 7 houses in St. Bernard Parish says a lot. That parish has really been working since the storm to come back. They've got a lot of commercial resources and the infrastructure there. And we're just now seeing the residential side coming back.
Yeah. Yeah. I noticed a lot of people mentioning a neighborhood called Araby.
Yeah. Yeah. Specifically, there's a neighborhood called The Heights in Araby. Mm-hmm. That neighborhood is really being built up by a few different builders. LeGray's Builders is in our parade this year. They have 6 houses there. These are great homes for a young family or first-time home buyer.
Yeah.
They're beautifully constructed, and they have a lot of outdoor space.
Now, it seems like a lot of these homes, they're modern and up-to-date. Am I accurate on that?
Absolutely, yes. A lot of homes, a lot of the technology right now comes almost standard in homes. We've got a few smart homes. That means that, you know, you can control your thermostat, your garage doors, your lights, all from your phone.
Wow. Yeah. That's my style.
Yeah. It's terrific for, you know, it definitely makes your life easier. Mm-hmm. But it's also really good for energy efficiency, right? So you can set your thermostat to maybe kick off the air conditioning when you're gone at work and turn it back on for, you know, when you're getting home and things like that. It'll turn the lights on for you before you pull up in your driveway and walk inside. So, yeah.
So what else can attendees of this year's Parade of Homes expect?
In addition to the technology, there are a lot of really, really cool design trends to be seen. There's a product called NanoWall that really helps blend the indoors with the outdoors.
Okay.
It's sort of like the wall will just move and then you don't have a wall between the inside and outside anymore. Continue with that indoor-outdoor theme. We're seeing a lot of outdoor kitchens right now. Mm-hmm. One of our sponsors, ShoppersChoice.com, they offer a lot of different appliances and really cool design ideas for outdoor kitchens.
Okay. Now, I know that in this year's Parade of Homes, you guys are featuring the St. Jude Dream Home. Let's talk about that briefly.
Yeah, so the St. Jude Dream Home has been on the parade for, I think, 4 or 5 years now. We're just so delighted to work with them. It's such an amazing foundation and a wonderful cause. Mm-hmm. So the house is in Lakeview again. It's on Pontchartrain Boulevard. Anyone can buy a ticket and they can have a chance at winning the home. It's beautifully built by one of our members, Hyman L. Bartolo Jr. Contractors. He builds some beautiful houses. So everyone should definitely get by during the parade and check that house out.
And when is the Parade of Homes?
The parade is going to be this weekend. This Saturday and Sunday from 1 to 5, and the following weekend from 1 to 5.
All right. Well, Lauren, thanks so much for stopping by today.
Thank you so much for having me.
More information, including a full list of homes and their locations, can be found at nolapoh.org. Hurricane season starts today, and the city encourages all residents to have their own evacuation plan. But not everyone can get out of town on their own. That's why New Orleans has developed a citywide assisted evacuation system. To run smoothly, a lot of agencies have to work together, and people have to know about it too. Nina Feldman went to a full-scale drill of the city's system to see how ready we are.
When Hurricane Katrina hit in 2005, at least 100,000 people stayed in New Orleans. Some didn't have transportation. Others were just used to staying for hurricanes.
You know, I used to be on a beat team. I'd be here when you leave. I'd be here when you come back.
Brenda Lomax Brown was one of those people.
I'm old school. I never evacuated for a storm. regardless of how bad it is, it's coming right at you. I wouldn't leave it. It always turned at the last minute, you know. People stuck on the highway trying to get back home. I'm at home.
But Katrina was different. Brenda and her husband stayed and ended up at the convention center with nothing but the clothes on their backs. She says they tried to walk home through knee-deep water, stepping over bodies along the way.
From that experience, I know now when they say, leave. Well, I moved off the B team, you know, so it's still, I guess I'm on the A team. I can't say AS is out.
Brenda didn't just make a plan for her own family. She signed up with a group called Evacuteer, which recruits helpers to get people out of town safely.
Number four, families with persons traveling together need to enter the same line.
New Orleans City Assisted Evacuation System is the largest of its kind in the country. It was created after Katrina, but hasn't gotten much use since then. So the city planned a full-scale simulation to test the plan. Here's how it works. The mayor typically issues a mandatory evacuation for a Category 3 storm or higher. Next, people head out to one of the 17 evacu spots around town. There are those giant metal stick figures that look like they're hailing a cab. From there, buses take people to the Union Passenger Terminal, where they're processed and bused to shelters or the airport.
Are we allowed to go on the plane?
On the plane?
With our family. Our whole family's stuck at the airport.
Well, that's a good question. Are they allowed to take animals on the planes? Do we know? Okay, so your choices are to go with your pets?
At the drill, volunteers were assigned roles to play, each with specific health issues or concerns.
Okay.
There were a lot of moving parts.
What kind of special needs does she have?
She has autism,
okay.
And she doesn't make eye contact.
Okay. What we're trying to figure out right now is the threshold for flying, because back there at medical triage, they're not supposed to be sending us certain special needs people, but that might be okay, so we're checking on that right now.
The city used the evacuation plan for the first and only time in 2008 during Hurricane Gustav. Director of New Orleans Homeland Security Aaron Miller says that storm taught them two major lessons.
One was scale.
In 2008, the system was ready for about 20,000 people. Now it's set up for almost 40.
The second thing was making sure that we paid particular attention to our residents who have special medical needs.
To do this, researchers at the University of New Orleans Center for Hazards Assessment Response and Technology, or CHART, say the plan must move away from a one-size-fits-all approach. CHART surveyed those who used the system during Gustav. They found many were frustrated with the reentry process. Some felt they were brought back to the city too early, others too late. Researchers at CHART say in a perfect world, the system would be so specialized it could signal when it's safe to come back neighborhood by neighborhood. Miller says the city has not changed the reentry plan since Gustav. Evacuteer director Kaylee Raproy does her best to make sure those who need the system know about it. Her group visits clinics, neighborhood groups, and shelters year-round. But she says that might not be enough.
We do count on word of mouth and the ripple effect because there isn't a lot of money for advertising. There's rarely any money for advertising on it.
Raproy also worries about the locations of those evacu spots.
We know we need more. Like the east is severely lacking. I mean, you've got people that might be walking upwards of 2 miles to get to some of these.
Brenda Lomax-Brown is doing her part to get the word out. She's president of the Holly Grove Dixon Neighborhood Association and makes sure her neighbors register for the system, even the skeptics.
You don't have to worry about where you're going to stay or the money for the road trip or for the gas. You don't have those worries. Somebody else is going to worry about that for you. And so it's my job to try to inform as many people as I can.
For WWNO, I'm Nina Feldman.
For more information or to register for the city's assisted evacuation system, visit ready.nola.gov. And that's it for this week's edition of All Things New Orleans. I'm Janae Pierre. Follow me on Twitter at Miss Janae Pierre and feel free to tweet comments or questions. Would you like to suggest a guest or topic? Send an email to Janae at WWNO.org. That's J-A-N-A-E at WWNO.org. Check out our website for previous shows and be sure to catch us next week right here on 89.9 WWNO New Orleans and 90.5 KTLN Thibodaux Houma. Thanks for joining us.